Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we have in Ephesians 3:14-21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth devours his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted in and established in love, may have power together with all the holy people, Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep in the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurable more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout our generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless this reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The women in my family are known for their prayers. Grandma Hunty, who would have been my great-grandmother, prayed my mom through nursing school. My mom actually graduated from nursing school when she was 7.5 months pregnant with me, and tells everyone that the only reason she graduated was because Grandma was praying for her every week. Granny, so this would have been my grandmother, prayed my little sister's chicken pox away. Now, I also think that, you know, time and oatmeal baths probably contributed to the chicken pox working its way through her system. But the way that Granny told the story, it was her prayers alone that cured my sister. I remember my own mother praying, shall we say, frantic prayers to God when I told her that I wanted to take my shiny college degree and use it to become a missionary. The entire year that I was living in Michigan, I could feel my mom praying that God would watch over me when she couldn't. When I was a kid, I was always a little bit embarrassed when I would listen to my mom or my grandmothers pray to God on my behalf. It felt like I was listening in on a private phone conversation between them and God. But as I got older, I realized that maybe there was a reason they prayed when I was listening. Maybe they wanted to teach me that they couldn't protect me from everything. Or maybe they also wanted to teach me to trust that God would watch over me when they couldn't. Their favorite prayer that they used to pray over me, they thought I was asleep when they were doing this, was to pray, "Lord, not my will be done, but thine." I remember as a kid, this prayer always brought me a lot of comfort, because usually they were praying it when I was going through a rough moment in my young life. And what I loved about this prayer was that it would tell me that God had a plan for me, and even if they didn't know what that plan was, God would reveal it in God's time. I was reminded of my grandparents and how they would pray for me as I read through our scripture passage for this morning. Our scripture reading for today is really just one long prayer, and this prayer would have been read aloud in the context of worship, so it would almost feel like you were listening to someone praying to God. As I was reading through this prayer, I began to wonder if the author of this part of the letter to the Ephesians meant for his prayer to be overheard in the same way that I'm pretty sure my grandparents meant for me to hear that they were praying for me. And I think the reason that the author does this is because he believes there is something in this prayer for the church in Ephesus, too. Something about who God is and why God matters that a person can only discover in prayer. This morning's prayer is the end of the first part of the letter to the church in Ephesus. If you've been with us for the last couple weeks, you'll remember that the theme of the first half of this letter is that in Jesus, all human divisions fall away. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, but there is one humanity, Christians, followers of Jesus. In Jesus, Jews and Gentiles are able to be brought together and they form one body, and this body is what we call the church. The church kind of replaces the temple in Judaism as the place where God dwells. We are meant to kind of be overwhelmed at this point by just the sheer beautiful mystery of Jesus' ability to bring Jews and Gentiles together. And the only appropriate response to all of that overwhelmedness is prayer. Prayer is how the church communicates with God and how the church discerns God's will for its future. You'll notice in the prayer that we read today, there are kind of four distinct parts to it. First, the author prays that we would receive inner spiritual strength when we're faced with some division in the church. When these divisions happen, the author prays that God's grace would fortify us against disunity. Next, the author prays that Christ would dwell in the hearts of those who believe. In our tradition, in the Presbyterian tradition, we believe that this happens in word and sacrament. So as the scriptures are read and the word is proclaimed and the sacraments are celebrated, Jesus dwells in the church in a special way. Next, the author believes that we would be open to receiving and comprehending some spiritual realities. What the author is talking about here is this idea that as followers of Jesus, we live by faith, not by sight. So some of the things we'll be asked to accept and do, we can't physically see or prove. We have to act on faith. And what the author is praying for here is that we would be open to receiving these mysteries and not meet them with skepticism. Finally, and I think this is the most important part of the prayer, the author prays that all would know the love of Jesus. And this is important in those moments of conflict and disunity when everybody's temperatures are raised and you're not sure what to do. And the author is specifically pointing us to experience this reality in worship, where we praise God for who God is and what God has done for us in Jesus. But this can also happen outside of church, when we get in on what God is doing for the poor, the marginalized, and the brokenhearted in our communities. The author's prayer ends with what we call a doxology. A doxology is just a fancy way to talk about expressing praise for God. We have a doxology in our worship service every week. You know, it's the Gloria Patri part of the service. I tried singing it at this part in the sermon at the other church and it didn't go well, so I'll spare you all from that this time. But you just wanted to give you a sense of what I was talking about. The doxology is meant to proclaim that God is more powerful than we are, so we are going to take a moment to praise God for who God is. This particular doxology is also what we call a benediction. So a benediction is another word for blessing, and that is what happens at the end of the service when I send you all out with a word of blessing to face the week ahead. What I love about this particular benediction is that it proclaims that God can do more than we can ever dream or imagine. And this knowledge, this belief, this faith gives us energy to go out and face the world as we know it. As I was reflecting on this passage this week, I've been thinking a lot about the role of prayer in our life together as a church. I really think the most important job I have as a pastor is to pray for the congregation. And I thought I'd share a little bit about what I prayed for you all for this past week. So first, I prayed for protection for all of us from this new Delta variant that is floating around the United States. I prayed that cases in Allegheny County would remain low, and I prayed for special protection for children who cannot yet be vaccinated, for people who are sick, for people who are vulnerable to complications, and especially for people who are really, really anxious right now. I also prayed that the Holy Spirit would show up when I'm preaching, particularly in this space between my words and your ears, because I remain stubbornly optimistic that God has something new to say in this time and this place. And finally, I prayed for energy, intelligence, imagination, and love to face the challenges of being church in 2021. Bet you all can see kind of where I'm going with this. I'm wondering what you all are praying when you are praying for our church. I imagine that some of you, kind of like my mother and grandmothers, are praying for God's help, God's intervention, God's protection during rough seasons of life and ministry. You're praying that our boiler will make it through another winter, that the church won't flood with all the rain we're supposed to get this week, that God would raise up new leaders to keep the church going into the future. Others among you are praying specific prayers for the health and well-being of our community. You're praying for so-and-so's nephew who broke his thumb when he was putting together the bassinet for his newborn daughter. We're praying for so-and-so's grandson who is in the hospital with a kidney infection. Still more of you are crying out to God, wondering, God, what is happening in the world around us, and how can I and how can we as the church get in on that? Friends, if you take nothing else away from my sermon this morning, know that the most important thing you can do for our church is to pray for it. Prayer is the only thing that will help us discern the direction of our church in this post-pandemic world we're living in. And prayer is one of those things that we have to do based on faith, not by sight. Some of the prayers that we offer up to God are going to be, for lack of a better word, incoherent. And we just have to trust that God is Lord and that God hears us, even if we are not sure what exactly we're praying for. Sometimes when we pray, God doesn't answer us right away, or God doesn't answer us in the way that we think God will. Sometimes it looks like God answers somebody else's prayer, but not ours. All of this is a way to get us practicing living our faith, even when it's a little bit harder to see it unfolding in front of us. Friends, one of the reasons that we prioritize prayer, that prayer is so important week in and week out, is because we trust and we know that where we fall short in offering our prayers to God, The gathered community is offering petitions to God on our behalf. And we continue to trust that our messy, imperfect, rambling prayers, God hears them and God is listening. But even more, we trust that in our prayers, however imperfect they may be, God is glorified. And through them, we can face the challenges of the week ahead. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.